You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thanks for joining us here today. I'm your host, Pastor Paul Esposito here, coming to you from Island Community Church, along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solana. Happy Friday to you. Thank God it's Friday. We're tuning into God's frequency here today. This is WGOD Radio. This is the radio broadcast brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Island Community Church. You are invited. We'd love to see you for one of our services. If you are, for whatever reason, looking for a new church home, and if you enjoy this radio program, then I invite you to attend one of our services. Sunday at 10:30, Wednesdays, I'm in the book of 2 Peter, verse by verse. From there, we'll be going into Titus verse by verse. This is what we do here. We study the Bible for the most part. We study the New Testament, our Testament, verse by verse, and you are invited. We would love to see you. This week, this Sunday morning, I will be in Acts chapter 6. We've been going through the book of Acts verse by verse. These last 2 weeks, we've been shocked. We were shocked at Ananias and Sapphira. These are those husband and wife whom God, through the Apostle Peter, killed for lying to God. Really, they thought they were just lying to the pastor. Imagine that. You know, then Peter says, how is it that you've conspired together to test the Spirit of God? And you've not lied to men, but to God. But imagine that they conspired together. Oh, to be a fly on the wall to hear that conversation. Ah, Pete will never know, right? It's not like he's going to kill us, right? Or it's not like we're lying to God. They lied to the spiritual leader of the church. And then the leader of the church said to them, no, you haven't lied to me. No, you've lied to God. And then wham! Down they went. And then the Bible says, and great fear fell on those that were in the church and on everyone else. And it says, and no one dared join the church anymore after that. Oh, man, you better be serious after that. No more lying to God. Things aren't going to be the way that they were anymore. I don't care how stylish lying is. That won't be tolerated in the Church of Jesus Christ. So that's where we've been at. The church is still growing. This week, they're going to appoint deacons in the church. We're going to be introduced to Stephen, one of those deacons. We're going to be introduced to Nicholas, who we believe is the Nicolaitans, an apostate out of this group. And we're going to be introduced to a man named Saul, who later on in life, his name would be known as Paul, and would write 13 of the 27 New Testament books. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning at 10:30. You are personally invited by me. You will be warmly greeted by this excellent church family. We would love to see you. Here on the radio, we're in the book of Hebrews, verse by verse. Slip, slide, and away. This is the warnings. Better watch out. He's warning of slipping away from the faith, which is easy to happen when you're not in church and not in God's house. This is a warning against that. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. Slip, slide, and away. We're in Hebrews chapter 2.
For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. All right, so he writes, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Let me read this note I found this morning. Now the argument moves from the lesser to the greater. If those who broke the law were punished, what'll be the fate of those who neglect the gospel? The law tells men what they must do. The gospel tells men what God has done. By the law comes the knowledge of sin. By the gospel comes the knowledge of salvation. So, this is a greater thing, greater responsibility for us. There's a lot of things we neglect in our lives as well. I believe we could call that procrastination. The author here is warning us not to procrastinate regarding our salvation. The Apostle Paul says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So what are the ways I can procrastinate? What are the ways you can procrastinate regarding your salvation? Number one, by not reading the word in your walk with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. Are you struggling with something? Do you have a secret prayer you wish God would answer? He says, and that's Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put him first. And then, that you spell that, that's a T-H-E-N, in case you're wondering. Then all these things will be added unto you. Put him first. Number two, the second way I can procrastinate regarding my salvation, by not repenting of sin daily. Remember, procrastination means putting something off until another time. I once read of that woman, Susanna Wesley. She had like 17 kids. Good Lord, how do you raise 17 kids? So she had this thing. They had long flowing dresses. She would take it. What's wrong, Caitlin? So she had this long dress. She would take the dress and pick it up and throw it over her head. And her kids knew whenever her dress was thrown over to leave her alone for 5 minutes. Even with 17 kids, hey, when there's a will, there's a way. You got to come up with some way. You can't say, well, I don't have time. One of the greatest blessings for me when we moved to Merritt Island, to Indian Atlantic, was that I had to drive 45 minutes to get to work, to here to the church. And that's my greatest regret of moving back here. Wow. Now, Elsa, how far do you drive to work? Hour and a half? Man, and I know what she does on her way to work because she's mad at me for taking our program off at 6:30 in the morning. Now she listens to Charles Stanley. In the Word, fill up that time in the Word of God. And now it's a great opportunity to pray. If you got 16 kids, when there's a will, there's a way. Find a way to repent daily. I pray each and every day, especially every Sunday, and double, triply especially, before communion, that I would be a vessel in here that God can use. Because I have got to be a clean vessel. I'm no different than everyone else. Man, I just lock myself in my office here and we're going to get at it. On my knees if need be. But I'm going to be a vessel that God can use in here on Sunday morning. Whatever it takes, everyone's different. 16 children, you might be a little bit different. Whatever it takes. The third way you can procrastinate is by not anchoring yourself here in God's house. So, not reading the Word of God in your walk with God, even if you have a daily devotional on a stand in your bathroom, or through the Bible in a year, or you have the luxury of spending a lot of time in the Word of God, or on your way to work, download an audio Bible, listen to it in your car, read it in the bathroom, whatever it takes. Listen, read, sit. Remember, the Word of God, Hebrews 4:16, it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, spend time with the Word of God. And things will work out well for you. What did he say to Joshua? It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He said, this book of the law, meaning your Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. Then he says these two words. He says, so that things may be well with you. Meditate on the Word of God. Whether it's 5 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever time you have. Be in the Word. Turn and repent of sin. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. All right, let's move on here. Let's move on to verse 5. He says, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, meaning angels aren't in charge. In spite of the superiority of angels to mankind, God has placed the administration of this earth into our hands. Genesis 1:26. Verse 6. But one testified in a certain place, saying, I guess the author forgot where this was written. Oh, someone said somewhere back there in the Old Testament. Right? One testified in a certain place. Why don't you just tell me who wrote it and where it is? Make me do the legwork and look it up. Maybe that's why he didn't tell me where it is. Right? Someone said somewhere. Right? I remember. Where's my wife? How many times has he said, where is that written? I know somewhere it says so. Well, now the guy who wrote this has to say, I know it's in there somewhere. Where is it at? And what do I say to you? Get out your own Bible, woman. Don't ask me. Look it up. All right. So someone wrote somewhere back there in that their Old Testament some time ago, what is man that you are mindful of him? Now, I think he's quoting Psalm 94, I think. If you're following along, it'll tell you. What is man that you are mindful? Now, little m, he's talking about just mankind. Now, Pastor Darren did an awesome series on this. Little m, that's just talking men and where we slot in on God's authority. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, still reading, referring to us, that you take care of him, small h. You made him, small h. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Still referring to you. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, like us, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Wow. Jesus is now crowned with glory and honor, and God's taken a body. Philippians 2:9, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's look at his verse 9 again. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, he might taste death. For everyone. Can you imagine that, tasting death? And I thought castor oil tasted bad. I won't even joke about this. Tasting death. Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, that is, God allowed him to, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. He knows what death tastes like. Now, I don't, and I can't relate. He died as a man, and he died for man. He bore in his body on the cross all God's judgment against sin, so that you who believe in him will never have to bear it. All you have to do is receive him. A pardon will do you no good if you don't receive it. The court case was United States versus Wilson, probably no relation to Bill, in the year 1833. United States versus Wilson was a case in the United States in which the defendant, George Wilson, was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail and putting the life of the carrier in danger in Pennsylvania, and he was sentenced to death. Due to his friend's influence, Wilson was pardoned by President Andrew Jackson. Wilson, however, refused the pardon. So the Supreme Court got brought into the case, and they were asked to rule on the case. So the decision was that if a prisoner, that would be you, by the way, you're a prisoner of sin. So he's talking to you. It might be to this guy, but he's talking to you. The wages of sin is death. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. My jersey's coming out in me now. The decision was that if a prisoner does not accept or receive the pardon, then it is not in effect. Supreme Court also said, I continue to quote, a pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. And if it's rejected, we have discovered no power in the court to force it upon him, unquote. And that about sums it all up, doesn't it? A pardon is a deed, and the pardon is signed in blood, his blood. And a delivery is not complete without acceptance. You've got to receive it. So my question to you is, have you received God's pardon for your sins today? Here's how you do this, to receive this. That's why I don't like that phrase. That's a little pet peeve of mine. So-and-so accepted Christ. Have you accepted Christ? I like the word receive a lot better. Receive Christ. Here's how you do this. Three things. Number one is confess. How do you receive God's pardon? If this is you, if the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart, what do I do? Men and brethren, what shall I do? You've convicted me. All right. Where do I go from here? Number one, confess. Greek word homo legeo. It means to agree with God. Or actually, literally, it means speak the same. Homo legeo. To speak the same. God says you are a sinner in need of salvation. You confess. That is, yes, God, you're right. I am a sinner. And I can't do this. I cannot do this on my own. I recognize that you are right. So confess, agree with God that you have sinned against him. Number two, repent. Greek word metanoia means to change your mind. In the military, that would be about peace. Leave it behind. Do a 180. And start going in the other direction. That's what repent means. Meta is change. Noia is the Greek word for your noggin. Change your mind. You're right. I'm not going to live like this anymore. I repent. And I leave it right there. And now I'm no longer going down this path here of the world. Now I'm going to start going in the other direction. And when he comes back, this is where, my camera's not going to follow. This is where he's going to look for me, right over here. Not over there. He's going to look for me over here, where his church is. So confess, repent, go in the other direction. And number three, call on Jesus. That would be receive God's pardon, because his pardon is his son. God's pardon is God's son. Receive his son, receive his pardon. He died in your place. He took your sins, the Lord, Isaiah 53, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what we learn in theology. right? The substitutionary death of the Son of God. The only righteous man steps in, takes my and your penalty, and says to the judge, I'll take that. I'll take his penalty. I'll take that. I'll take yours. That's what the word exagorazo means, to redeem. It means to set free out of the slave market. God says, I'll take you. I'll take all of your sins. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, Son of God, that dies in our place. And now, you see, God got a giant gavel like this, slams down that gavel and says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God now, by you receiving his pardon, slams down his own gavel and declares those words on this 30th of March, year of our Lord 2025, you've been dying to hear your whole life. Not guilty. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Now that's some good news here this morning. That's why Paul was worried that people would be deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. Children can receive him very easily. Don't be deceived. People try to make it more difficult than that. It's that easy. Confess. Agree with God. Repent. Leave that old stuff behind. Go in the other direction. And number three, call on Jesus. Don't be stubborn like that Mr. Wilson. Thank God our Mr. Wilson is not stubborn. Right? Not with his faith, he's not. Hebrews 12:25 says this, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he's promised, saying, yet once more I'll shake not only the earth but the heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. May that be you. God's, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. You see it out here in the world today. All these evil people have come out of the woodwork because that verse is being fulfilled right in front of you. There's a whole lot of shaking like a snow globe. All right, there's no need to go on from here. There's a huge rock in the middle of your path this morning, and his name is Jesus. There's no going around him. You've got to deal with the rock. It's in your path. What do you do with Jesus Christ? What do you do with the Son of God? He says if you stumble over him, you might hurt your toe a little bit, bang up your knee, but woe to those on whom this rock falls. Because if this rock falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. What do you do with the rock? No one understand. Receive God's pardon, and this is what happens. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who have received God's pardon. Or there is no condemnation. Literally, the word says, to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That is, you're anchored. And you're no longer doing the stuff that made you a transgressor before. Notice there's a comma there after that. He says, to those that aren't walking anymore according to the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and of death. So receive God's pardon for your sins, and you will receive the Spirit of life, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, free from the law of sin and death. You see, Jesus, this is my parting words to you guys here today. Jesus Christ has beaten death, and he's calling you today. He's tasted death, and he's beaten death, and he's calling you to come and join him today. He's calling you. Now, with that in mind, let's look at this last verse here, chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, so that through death, speaking of Jesus now, he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Let me tell you, the devil is a defeated foe. He's got no power and authority over you. None. That's the great deception that he does not want you to know. And that is, if God be for you, who can be against you? So, have you received God's pardon for your sins? A pardon is not a pardon unless it's received. Otherwise, as far as you're concerned, it'd be a worthless piece of paper. I mean, I see all the things on eBay, like Elvis's autograph and things. They're worth thousands, sometimes $1 million. What is a pardon worth with the blood of the Son of God on it? How much would that sell on eBay? I guess the question would be, what's its value, right? What's it worth to you? What's it worth to you? I leave you with this verse, and that is, for as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's the truth here this morning. Let's pray. And pray with me. Let's pray for those that have been convicted of this and they have yet to receive God's pardon. Church family, pray with me. Lord God, we pray right now. And if you guys are watching or hearing this on the radio, and if you're convicted, and if you're like all of us through the thousands of years that said, all right, what do I do from here? Receive God's pardon. Confess that you are a sinner in need of grace. Confess you can't make it on your own. Repent of your sins. That is, leave your sins behind you today. Turn and receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become a son or a daughter of God. And Lord, we turn to you here now. We praise you. Lord, I pray for everyone here in this church here today. God bless my church family. Be with them. Watch out over them. Bless their families. Bless their children. Fill them with this knowledge here and send them out north, south, east, and west to advance your kingdom here in these end of days. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.